read God's word. Larry, you are a gift to the body of Christ. And this body appreciates, we appreciate the fact that we don't have to pay you to sing because we couldn't afford you. I am feeling the love of God this morning. I don't always feel, you know. I mean, we can't go by our feelings or we'd be a spastic, right? Up and down and all that. But I just feel His arms around me today. I feel Him loving me today, and I want you to feel that today. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the way you love us. And if there's anyone here that feels unloved, may today be the day that they walk into that incredible relationship that is established by faith, but these feelings come along to support our faith. And we base our faith on the facts that are written in the Word of the living God. Thank you for your love. 46 years ago today, a wonderful couple in our church marched down this, well, we didn't have the center aisle back then, but they came down the side aisles and they got married right here on this platform. John and Kathy Dykema, would you guys just, where are they? Oh, right over here. Just wave at us. John and Kath. 46 years ago. Now that's a love story right there. I love those guys. And we honor you on your anniversary today. God bless you guys. And they've been a part of this fellowship all those years. Thank you for being part of the foundation of and the strength of this church body. 1 Samuel 16, let's begin at verse 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's actually in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of Saul's servants said to him, "A tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again." "All right," Saul said. "Find me someone who plays well and bring him here." One of the servants said to Saul, "One of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He is also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, "Send me your son David the shepherd." Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat, a donkey loaded with bread, and a wineskin full of wine. So David went to Saul and began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent word to Jesse asking, "Please let David remain in my service, for I am very pleased with him." And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away. Father, there are people in our community who are being tormented by evil spirits. There are people in our community, Lord, who have mental health issues. They hear voices. They struggle with sanity. And they're all over our community. And we have had difficulty in ministering to them because as far as we're concerned here in the church, all we know how to do is deal with the demonic power. Because we have authority over all of the power of the enemy. And yet, Lord, there are many of them that need to go to a doctor. They need to be properly medicated. Certainly, you are the God for whom nothing is too miraculous, and certainly you can touch their minds, and we ask you to do that. But Lord, thank you also for doctors and people in this field that can help. And oh God, just blend it all together for your honor and glory. May we reach out and help people with the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I also want to tell you that those of you who would like to give towards the victims of Hurricane Michael, please do not give to the Red Cross. There's no cross in the Red Cross. They're doing great work. Don't get me wrong. They're very humanitarian. Give to Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope still has the cross in the Red Cross. And we have a place right on our envelopes, our newer envelopes, where you can give an offering, and we'll make sure that Convoy gets that offering. I also want to read for you this morning another passage. It's in 1 Samuel 18, verses 10 through 16. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall, but David escaped him twice. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. Finally, Saul sent him away and appointed him commander over 1,000 men, and David faithfully led his troops into battle. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. When Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle. One of the greatest promises in this entire book was made by God for every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ. It's found in Isaiah 54:17. The New King James Version says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Would you say that with me? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The NIV says, "No weapon formed against you will prevail." The Hebrew is literally, "All weapons formed against you will not prosper." The promise of this verse is that there are spiritual and human enemies seeking to do us harm. Right now, they're devising weapons specifically designed, targeting believers, targeting our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, our susceptibilities. In fact, as you sit here right now in this church, Trinity Life Center, you are more dangerous than anyone else in the entire world, and that's why the world will show you hostility when they know who you are and what you stand for. While you sit here, the enemy of your soul, both human and demonic, are devising weapons to take you down. Are you afraid? You shouldn't be, because Jesus promises he will protect us, because all weapons formed against us will not prosper. Now, these weapons would work, being specifically designed for you, except that Jesus intervenes for his own, so that these weapons being formed against you, they will fail. Now, I begin with this verse today because although we're in 1 Samuel 16 and Samuel 18, this verse in Isaiah seems to speak exactly to the events that we're looking at in our scriptures today. An evil spirit from Elohim. We usually run across the word for God, Yahweh. Today in our scripture, it's Elohim. An evil spirit from Elohim had come upon Saul because the Holy Spirit had left him. And twice, Saul, in fits of jealousy and rage, tries to kill David. Elohim was the regional plural name for majesty. It was used by the Philistines and other tribes in the area, which is, for me, it's just a crying shame because it so beautifully expresses and captures the essence of the Trinity. Anytime that you see a Hebrew word with I am at the end, that pluralizes the word. So it has a beautiful expression of Father, Son, and Spirit in the word Elohim, but it was captured also by those who believed in many gods, and so the name got watered down. So the real name that we look to in the Old Testament is Yahweh, because that's the more personal covenant name for God. The Bible is purposely expressing its truth through the great contrast today between David and Saul. Saul was in his throne room with a spear in his hand. David is sitting in Saul's throne room playing the lyre, L-Y-R-E, not L-I-A-R. And it's like a small harp, and he was playing to calm Saul down, and then suddenly Saul is tormented by an evil spirit. He realizes that the Holy Spirit, the spirit that used to come upon him when he was the anointed king of Israel, that incredible and precious Holy Spirit has now left him and is resting on David, the young man playing the lyre. Now, in the place of the vacuum left when the Holy Spirit was removed from being on him, not in him, remember, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people, wasn't dwelling inside of them like he does for us. But an evil spirit from the presence of Yahweh comes on Saul and torments him. How many of you know all of nature abhors a vacuum? And that's true in the spirit world even more than it is in the natural realm. You'll remember that story in the New Testament of that man who was delivered from demons, but the house was swept clean, but he didn't fill that empty house with anything, and that demon went and brought seven other demons stronger than himself. All of nature abhors a vacuum. This evil spirit had come from Yahweh's presence as a judgment against Saul for his sins of disobedience and rebellion. The evil spirit moves Saul to throw his spear at David. In fact, he doesn't do that just once, but it's recorded at least twice in the scripture that that happened, and both times he misses. Believing friend, I'm here to tell you today that no physical spear thrown at your head is going to hit you. Unless there's some higher purpose in the kingdom of God, like what happened in Ecuador to those great missionaries, resulting in tremendous strides made for the gospel depicted in that great movie At the End of the Spear. But I don't think that most of us are going to have to face anything like that. It's terrifying to think of the judgment that Saul himself was facing, being tormented by an evil spirit from Yahweh. The Bible records it twice, 1 Samuel 16:15. The literal Hebrew says, "The spirit of Yahweh turned aside from with Saul, and an evil spirit from with Yahweh was terrifying him." 1 Samuel 18:10, "On the next day, a spirit of Elohim, an evil one, succeeded to Saul, and he was babbling like a prophet in the midst of the house." Some people try to get around this verse by denying the existence of an evil spiritual world with the devil and his demons, saying that all spirits simply are out there doing God's bidding. And I'm not going to try to get around this verse at all. It's shocking to read that God is the one sending on anyone a terrifying evil spirit. Many have suggested that this is just rage and jealousy that Saul is facing. Anger is a common emotion that all of us face from time to time, and rage is the extreme case of anger that hopefully none of us have to face. But this is truly a demonic spirit that comes upon Saul. Point number one of today's message: after the evil spirit comes, Saul is on a persistent pursuit to kill David. And the title of the message today is Persistent Pursuit. That's what I want you to really focus in on. And the first point is how persistent Saul was after this spirit, this evil spirit, manifested itself. And it comes upon Saul, and he he tries to kill David at one time and then ends up babbling incoherently at another time. The Bible begins to express that Saul is facing some mental health issues. He's paranoid. He's jealous. He's filled with rage. The Bible does make a distinction between the evil spirit and the intense negative emotions like jealousy and rage. Let me tell you what the worst thing that we will probably ever deal with is: a person battling mental health who tries to medicate on their own with some kind of drug not prescribed by a doctor, and then the evil spirits come, and that's a Molotov cocktail. That's a triple whammy. And there are people, you'll see them walking down the streets being tormented like this. And then there are others that you would never realize that they're up against this. But the Bible makes it very clear that the evil spirit for Saul came upon him while he was battling these mental health issues. He was battling depression, paranoia, and rage. Those things can occur simultaneously. So yes, this is a demonic spirit that comes upon Saul. The Bible is specific that this evil spirit is coming upon him and tormenting him in a terrible way. He's filled with murderous thoughts. He is just going through so much that it shocks us. But we remember in the New Testament, Paul said he was troubled by an evil spirit after he saw the three levels of heaven with the express intent that his pride wouldn't get the better of him. We refer to it as Paul's thorn in the flesh, but he also calls it an angel or a messenger of Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, completely designed for him to control his pride. Let me tell you, folks, if God begins to use you the way I think he's about to, when God begins to use all of us, let's keep our pride in check. Let's make sure that nobody here gets any credit for what God's about to do. And whatever God ends up doing in this fellowship, let's give God all the glory. I believe the day's coming, the media is going to come, not just to our church, but to see the move of God that's happening throughout the Las Vegas Valley. We have 125 churches now that are in a unity prayer together. God is moving. It's about to happen in such supernatural ways. I'm so excited. Every pastor I talk to, we're just like giddy schoolboys because we know that God is about to move in Las Vegas, like in an unprecedented way. And we've discussed what to do when the media comes. We think the media is coming out because that particular cameraman needs to get saved and that particular interviewer needs to get healed. So we don't care about anybody getting any kind of credit. When they ask, what's going on, who's the leader around here, we're going to all look around at each other and go, there's only one leader. Do you know him? Had you have a relationship with him? Has he healed you yet? You need to be healed today. So, yeah, the Lord is so good, and he's about to do so many things. Let's keep our pride in check. But the promise I want you to hear again and again this morning is this one: every weapon formed against you will not prosper. You see, all around us are evil spirits. And they're roaming, seeking someone to devour and to destroy their life. But the Holy Spirit, and here's the magnificent contrast, the Holy Spirit of God will protect you from anything those evil spirits devise for you. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're not yet a Christian, ask Jesus right now to come into your life and save you. And immediately the Holy Spirit will come inside and protect you from evil. Why would an evil spirit ever come upon Saul, King Saul in the first place? Well, the crisis with Saul comes when David is anointed as the king of Israel as a teenage boy. And he knows, Saul knows, the Spirit left him and went somewhere else. He didn't know where it went. Today, every Christian has the Holy Spirit within them. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would just come upon individuals externally and for a limited time. The Holy Spirit would come upon an individual to complete a task. When the task was successfully completed, the Holy Spirit came off from the person until the next time that he, the Spirit of God, was needed. The Bible in 1 Samuel 16 and 18 is contrasting David having the Holy Spirit and Saul having an evil spirit. And in this instance, before the Holy Spirit could empower David, he first had to depart from empowering Saul. There could only be one anointed king at a time. But this created a vacuum in Saul, who had previously experienced being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Saul, the leader to whom much is given and much required, was being judged for disobeying Yahweh, not once, but twice. Both times, he was given very specific instructions, which he openly defied. An evil spirit came from the presence of Yahweh to torment and terrify Saul. We see in Job and in Zechariah that Satan is often in the presence of God. So when it says an evil spirit from with Yahweh, I know that by the word of God, there is no evil whatsoever in our God. None whatsoever. Our God is holy, pure, righteous, and perfect. The evil spirit is not coming from God, but coming from the presence of Yahweh God, from his throne room. Coming from the presence of Yahweh tells me that this is a particularly terrifying and strong, very strong, evil spirit. The Hebrews recognized what we all need to recognize today, that Yahweh is sovereign over everything, and everything happens because Yahweh wills it to happen, or he allows it to happen. Nothing takes our God by surprise. The point of this element of the story needs to become a real warning to the Christian first, but also to the non-Christian, that horrible things happen when you disobey God. Horrible things happen when you disobey God. A man named Ben Johnson laid it out clearly and succinctly when he said, "Men may securely sin, but safely never." This is clearly the warning of our story today. It's a complete contrast with David, who is safe and protected in his obedience and worship of the living God. Clearly, this is a strong and terrifying evil spirit tormenting Saul. At times, this spirit triggers hatred, anger, murderous thoughts, paranoia in Saul, but Saul has all of those feelings by themselves, at times without the evil spirit. And I want to just make a very important statement right here. If you're living in a lifestyle today that is disobedient to God, to what God says in his word, it will expose you to torment from demonic power. It will expose you to internal torment that we bring upon ourselves with feelings like depression and rage and paranoia and fear. So don't let that happen in your life. Trust and obey. Remember the old song? We were kids. My kids hate that song because I sang it to them after they were disciplined. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to. It's important for us, ladies and gentlemen, to look at this story today, David and Saul,
and to see the differences, the anointing and the protective presence of the Holy Spirit upon the one who's walking in a divine obedience to the will of God, as opposed to Saul being exposed to tormenting demons and intense turmoil in his emotions. David, point number two of today's message, David was on a persistent pursuit to worship the living God, Yahweh God, the covenant God, to have a relationship that defined his life. When Saul had the Holy Spirit and was anointed to be the king, he was being protected from every weapon formed against him. But when the Holy Spirit passed from Saul to David, David was now protected from every weapon formed against him. But once the Holy Spirit was removed from Saul, which in itself is a great judgment from God for his rebelliousness, then that vacuum brought an evil spirit to torment Saul and to rouse him to jealousy. And that's why he attempted murder, and that's why he was driven to insanity. Saul was no longer protected from the weapons formed against him, but was struck with every demonic weapon that could be formed. Yet David, as we will see over and over again, spares Saul's life. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, stay in the anointing and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I just love, you know, Pastor Barbara, she's the only person I know that is on such an intimate track with the Holy Spirit. She just calls him the ghost. She told me one day, we were in a meeting, God was moving. She leaned over and said, "Oh, Pastor, the ghost is heavy today." And I just thought, wow, she's on a first name basis. That's close. But the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, let's stay in His will. Let's walk in obedience. Let's watch Him protect us from every weapon that has your name on it, every human weapon, every human person that would try to come against you. When I first took over as the pastor of this church, we were facing some real challenges. And I was in a prayer meeting, and Pastor Dave Childers, who was saved here as a little boy, 5 years old, when he comes to Trinity, he was here this week, and we always walk over into the fellowship hall to the spot where he was saved as a five-year-old boy. He walked right up to me, he laid hands on me, and he said, "Anyone who opposes you, anyone who tries to come against you is going to be destroyed." I was like, I like that. I'm going to pray that that happens the rest of my life. And the Lord really did. It was just beautiful how the Lord walked me through certain minefields in order to remain here as your pastor back in that day. But human weapons will come against you. And spiritual weapons will also be formed against you. Now, some statements in 1 Samuel 16 to 18 are out of chronological order in order to give us a theological purpose. Other statements suggest the completion of some events in a short period of time that actually took years, like David's military campaigns. Now, here's something that only diligent pursuers of the Word would be able to capture or even be concerned about. I just want to throw this out for those of you that really love the Word today, and I hope that's all of us. There are direct statements about time in the Bible, like in 1 Samuel 18:10, that says, "the next day." However, "the next day" follows a section that looks like it only took a day, but it clearly took a very considerable amount of time. Do you really think they only took one day to celebrate David defeating Goliath? I don't think so. I mean, that was a Super Bowl championship. Have you ever been in a city where there was a Super Bowl championship? Now, that may happen one day for Las Vegas. I might celebrate that. Depends on who they're playing. But it's not a one-day event. You know, had the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup last year, they came so close, we would have celebrated that all summer long. So this saying the next day, it's not exactly just one day. These celebrations take a long time. But the Bible says the next day, and that's when we find David now in his customary spot at the throne room playing the lyre for Saul. Saul has the evil spirit come upon him, and in a fit of jealous rage fires a spear fastball at David's head in order to pin him to the wall. David, warrior that he is, protected by the Holy Spirit from every weapon formed against him, is able to dodge the spear the first time. Apparently, this is the first attempt by Saul on David's life, but he had previously expressed his jealousy and his paranoia towards David. Saul is a huge man, and he's a great warrior. This is no feeble attempt at killing David. Saul is in a demonic fit of rage with tremendous strength and accuracy, and David calmly ducks out of the way, and then what does he do? Does he get up and flee? No, he sits back down and he starts to play his harp again, trying to help this man. How many people would have gone into a rage and thrown the spear back at Saul? Think of what's happening in our society. There's violence everywhere on our roads. People are senselessly raging over the slightest provocations, like cutting people off or cutting in line. Our schools are where students are now trying to carry guns just for their own protection, because this increased frequency of violence is happening everywhere, and it has deadly consequences. And this is what was going on with Saul, and David responded the way Christians are supposed to respond, with complete calm, knowing that our God is in control and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And so that's how we live. That's how we walk. The Spirit-filled Christian does not need to throw the spear back. The Spirit-filled Christian can walk in confidence in the will of God. I heard yesterday, it was so beautiful, Christina called it, she's walking in Godfidence. Let's do that. Let's walk in Godfidence, that Jesus will protect us from all the weapons that are being formed against us. Do you really want to feel safe and secure? Here's how you do that. Allow the Holy Spirit, allow the Ghost, to fill you and find your divine calling and mission in life. There's nothing like finding your purpose for being here on the planet and knowing that God specifically has something for you to accomplish for His purposes, for His kingdom. And when you're out there doing that, life is beautiful. You have so much fulfillment. Sure, you're going to run into issues and problems, and that's just part of it. The building of our character. How many of you, like me, have said, Lord, I have enough character. I don't need any more of these issues. And the Lord says, I think probably you do. But we need to know that we are protected. You won't need to throw the spear back. You're going to have to dodge a lot of spears, but Jesus will help you dodge them. See, we're all dodgers. I'm not suggesting that you can stand there while the spear is coming at you and stare it down and Jesus will make it drop to the ground. I'm suggesting that you dodge the spear in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and don't pick that spear back up in order to hurl it back at your enemy. Pray for them. Do what David did. Lead them into worship. He was playing one of his 75 psalms that he wrote. I'm sure that that was the response that God wanted him to give and that God wants us to give. Faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and protect us. Remember, we were looking into the Talmud and the Mishnah and finding Jewish history about David's life. This is where David really was being formed as a boy, where he learned how to rely on the anointing and the empowerment of the Spirit of God. He learned that his whole life. His mother, Nitzavet, taught him that as he was out in those fields. And so he's perfectly designed. And think about it, everything you've ever been through has prepared you for what God has for you to do. Everything. Everything you've ever been through, God can turn around and use that. What the enemy meant for evil, the Lord can use it for your good. And that's what happened. You know, David was trained through the rejection of his father and his brothers. This wasn't anything new to David, being rejected by the king. So David allows the Holy Spirit to come upon him and guide him, and Saul is filled with rage and tormented by this evil spirit, and David's filled with praise and shalom and anointed by the Spirit. And so David is involved in this process that is leading him higher and higher into obedience and trusting the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants to do with every one of us. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever the challenge, God wants to use that to lift you up into a place where, like David, you are a true worshiper of the living God. And the worst things that happen catapult you into a greater dimension of worship and praise to Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for us. That's what he's after in our lives. That's what happens when our Dave and our worship team lead us week after week with inspiring songs of praise and worship, raising us into the presence of God. Friends, come prepared to worship. This is your spiritual worship, that you would give God your body, your soul, your mind, your strength, and everything you have, every moment of the rest of your life and every breath that you breathe, a gift from God to give him glory, honor, and praise for the rest of your life. We love you today, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all of the honor. We give you all of the praise today. The evil spirit that had come upon Saul was trembling at the presence and the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. There are still evil spirits present in our world, and they cause great damage and heartache. But friends, say it with me, they are defeated enemies. Evil spirits, they are defeated enemies. They're still present in our world. And they cause great damage and heartache. But they are defeated enemies. Their head's been cut off. Jesus defeated them. And that's why he can promise us that every weapon formed against us will not prevail. So this morning I want to close this message by asking all of you a very important question. This is my third and final point. What is your persistent pursuit? What is your persistent pursuit? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, I urge you to trust him now as your Lord and Savior. He'll protect you. He will fill you with his Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. He will give you a peace that passes understanding when you're facing the most awful circumstances you've ever faced in your life. If you're a Christian, I want to warn you to follow in the ways of Christ and be obedient to him, because there is a world of pain and heartache that will come from without and from within. Heartache within is the anxiety, the depression, the paranoia, the anger that comes from disobeying Jesus. Heartache without is when we're exposed through sin to the temptations and torments of an evil spirit. But if we who are Christians would follow and obey Christ, we have the most wonderful promise that every weapon formed against us will not prosper. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Beyond the promise of being protected, we have the promise as Spirit.